Can't Cover It Up. Written by Vito Power Over Clocks. Read by SBL. Fandom, Skate Infinity. Relationship, background original female character, original female character. Rating, mature. This is part 2 of the Cherry Bomb series. Summary. To be Cherry's fan involves having a lot of thoughts about Joe. Many of them aren't fit for polite conversation. One.
There's so much I don't understand here, Utako says, taking in all the people chatting and looking to relax for the situation. The situation being that they're all hanging around in an abandoned mine to watch a skateboarding race in which anything goes. This is probably illegal. She doubts anyone has allowed this place to be used this way.
Yeah, it's very odd, isn't it?
Hishika says, her hands in her pockets and her face so unconcerned that Utako doubts she actually agrees with her. Maybe she's become insensible to the bizarreness through repeated exposure. Utako doesn't have much right to comment on things, because she agreed to follow Hishika here after being told that this place was irregular. All because Hishika told her that what Sakurayashiki-sensei was doing in the field of calligraphy was only a fraction of what he was capable of.
This is how people get murdered in procedurals, isn't it?
So far, though, it doesn't look like Utako's about to be offered in sacrifice to some skateboarding deity. She barely gets noticed, and the only people that talk to her do it because she's with Hishika. There are a couple of girls in matching white and purple outfits, with a cherry blossom patch on the left arm. They ask Hishika if she has any instructions for tonight, inform her they're out of cookies, and tell her that the classic, Utako can hear the capital letters, will happen tonight.
We're going to need you there for it, Misaki-chan, says a girl with the longest braid Utako has ever seen. Joe's fan club is at full attendance today, while us...
She gestures around.
Naoko-chan's not coming back, and Kotori-chan has homework, says the other girl.
What immediately draws Utako's attention is that she doesn't seem to be paying attention to them. Her eyes are focused somewhere behind Hishika's head. Hishika clicks her tongue and makes an apologetic face.
I can't tonight. I'm showing my friend around.
She gestures with her head at Utako, who finds herself under the scrutiny of the other girls. The one with a braid twists her mouth.
How long until that's over? Join us after you send her home.
Utako stares, taken aback by how rude the girl is. Hishika takes her hands out of her pockets to clasp them.
Not possible. She's staying for the classic.
Then she can join us.
Oh, so not possible.
Hishika says, firm but not mean. She isn't here as a club member. She's here to see what she thinks of Cherry-sama skating. Before the girl with a braid can say something else, Hishika continues.
Look, Yuko-chan, let's talk about this later.
She adjusts her hat, pushing it back so the visor won't hide her eyes. I'll tell Miyuki to keep in mind there's only two from our group tonight.
That's good. Thank you, Misaki-chan, says the girl with a faraway look, her eyes briefly resting on Hishika.
The girls in the matching outfits leave. Hishika groans and rubs her face with her hands.
Okay, this is fine, she mutters to herself.
She looks at Utako and gives her a weak smile.
Sorry about that.
She puts her hands in her pockets again and takes out some wrapped candy.
Do you want one? They're grape-flavored.
No, thanks,
Utako says. Hishika puts one in her mouth and gestures for Utako to follow her.
I'm really sorry, Nano, but I need to talk to a friend for a moment.
She looks troubled,
Utako would put a hand on her shoulder and try to comfort her if she thought it'd be well received. I'll keep showing you around after that.
Utako shakes her head, trying to dismiss Hishika's concerns.
What was all that about?
Utako asks.
Hishika lets out a quick, nervous laugh and says, I happen to lead a fan club here for one of the skaters, Cherry Blossom. She licks her lips. He has a rivalry with another skater, Joe. Since he has a fan club too, we have a rivalry going on.
Why a rivalry and not just a rivalry?
Hishika looks around and moves closer to whisper.
The girl that leads Joe's fan club, that's Miyuki, is my best friend. Half her fighting is for show. Please don't tell anybody.
Before Utako can ask more about that, a group of girls in matching orange outfits start screaming with the amount of enthusiasm Utako expects in an idol concert. Before Utako can process what's happening, Hishika has grabbed her arm and is pulling her back and away, right in time to avoid a couple of running girls and save Utako's ears from the instructions another girl yells after them.
What's going on? Utako asks.
That's Joe's fan club. He must be around here somewhere now, Hishika says, looking around with an expression Utako can't decipher.
Okay,
Utako says, watching the screaming girls. Hishika clicks her tongue and looks in the direction the girls went in.
He seems to be in top form tonight,
she smiles. Utako tries to find the reason for the general excitement, looking around and wondering if it's something obvious or if she'll have to ask Hishika. And then a huge guy appears. What the fuck?
What's with those arms?
Big, aren't they? Hishika says, sounding amused.
He's got a six-pack!
And not the sword that you have to guess it's there. It's the sword you can probably use for an anatomy lesson. That's how defined it is.
Yep. His tits are bigger than mine!
Utako shrieks.
Too loud, because the guy turns to look at her, and so do the girls around him.
Utako feels her face heating up. The next few things happen in quick succession. A hat is placed on Utako's head, visor down to partly cover her face. Hishika takes a step forward and to the side, hiding Utako from view. Last, Hishika waves and whistles.
Don't mock us!
One of the girls in orange yells. The big guy, however, waves back, laughing. Then he walks away, and the girls around him follow him instead of staying to argue with Hishika. That was Joe, Hishika says once they're out of sight. He leaves an impression, doesn't he? Utako takes off the hat and returns it to Hishika, who uses it to start fanning Utako's face. You're still a bit red, she says, voice full of mirth and her eyes teasing.
I didn't mean to be so loud,
Utako groans. Don't worry, it's a natural reaction. His tits are huge, Hishika says, nodding solemnly. Utako sighs and looks down at her own chest.
He has no right, she grumbles. This is cruel. This is unfair. This is...
She pulls her shirt slightly away from her chest and stares at the cleavage she doesn't have.
I should buy a padded bra.
Hishika pats her shoulder. I know some good brands. Utako narrows her eyes at her. Hishika shrugs.
You're not the first girl that's had a cup crisis after seeing Joe.
I think I hate him, Utako says. She doesn't mean it. It makes Hishika laugh. Two. The world is a very curious place and people are weird. That's Fu's sincere opinion that she doesn't voice often, because people are also unhappy to be labeled as weird. They get defensive. One of the things Fu likes about Cherry-sama's fan club is that nobody normal is in it. She tells this to Misaki-chan once, and Misaki-chan laughs and says that Fu is right.
Nobody normal comes to us, Misaki-chan says. Just look around you. This place is full of weirdos.
Excuse you,
a girl from Joe's fan club says.
Don't put us in the same lot as you, and don't insult Joe.
One, Misaki-chan says, raising a finger. This conversation doesn't include you. And two, look at the man's belt. Who in their right mind would wear that?
Misaki-chan starts arguing with Joe's fangirl. What's her name? Is it something with an R? Then, until Miyuki arrives and separates them. Fu doesn't pay much attention to what's happening because she started thinking about Joe's outfit and then couldn't stop.
White pants!
She says while Miyuki pulls the other Joe fangirl, or maybe it was something with a C, away.
What?
Misaki-chan says.
Joe skates in white pants. That's a very bad idea.
Fu shakes her head.
If he bails, they'll end up ruined. Joe's too good to bail.
Joe's fangirl.
Wait, no, it was something with a T.
Seems indignant at the idea. Misaki-chan snorts. Fu shakes her head.
Nobody's too good to bail.
Her other thoughts on Joe's outfit leave Misaki-chan laughing so hard that she bends over, while Miyuki and the other Joe fangirl, perhaps it was actually an S, look uncomfortable. Fu doesn't understand why. There are five types of S Knight. When Cherry-sama and Joe race each other, when Cherry-sama races but Joe doesn't, or the other way around, when both of them race other people, and when neither races. Fu keeps them separate in her mind because they all involve very different activities for them, as members of Cherry-sama's fan club. Tonight, only Joe has a beef. Fu has mixed feelings about this sort of night. On one hand, it means Joe's fan club is too busy to try to start something with Cherry-sama's fan club. On the other hand, it means Miyuki's busy being a fan club leader and Fu can only look at her from afar. And then there's having to see Joe projected on the side of the mountain. There's a close-up of him as he approaches the starting line. Fu instinctively winces and crosses her arms over her chest.
What's wrong?
Mia asks. Fu had forgotten he was there. He's been sort of hovering around them since he had that beef against Snow. It's strange. Fu has to keep reminding herself that he might be around now. He's looking up at her with wide eyes and his head tilted to the side. She looks back at him and says,
Nothing's wrong.
He keeps looking at her, so she keeps her eyes on him, trying to understand. Slowly, his eyebrows start drawing together.
He wants to know why you did that, Yumi-chan says, stepping in with a small smile and pointing at Fu's crossed arms.
Oh!
Fu pauses and looks at Yumi-chan.
Should I explain?
She's learned her lesson regarding this particular detail. It's better to check with the others.
Well,
Yumi-chan pauses and turns towards Misaki-chan, who's currently running some calculations on her phone and looking stressed.
Hey,
she says, poking Misaki-chan's arm and making her jump.
Should Fu-chan explain to Mia why she crossed her arms when Joe appeared on camera?
Misaki-chan blinks, looks her phone, and looks at the three of them in turn while Mia says,
I'm right here.
He's glaring at them. Yes, you are, Fu says simply. For some reason, that makes Mia glare harder. You're 13, right? Misaki-chan says, looking down at Mia, her own arms crossed over her chest and her hip cocked. Without waiting for a reply, which is rather rude of her, in Fu's opinion, she says, Yeah, he's old enough to hear the explanation. Okay, Fu says. She clears her throat.
Well, you see.
She points at the projection on the side of the mountain and sees that the beef is already on its way.
Huh, when did that happen?
She wants to ask, but she thinks the others will tell her to focus on what she was supposed to talk about. Fu shakes her head and focuses. Joe. She was talking about Joe.
Humans are mammals, Fu says. Mammals have nipples.
Mia's eyes widen and he looks like he's choking on air. Misaki-chan is covering her mouth and seems to be smiling.
Joe doesn't wear a shirt. If he bailed...
Fu shivers and wraps her arms more tightly around her chest.
Nobody would risk their nipples like that.
Mia gapes.
Why would you make me think of that?
He says, bringing his own arms up to wrap them around his chest.
See?
Fu says, turning towards Misaki-chan and pointing at Mia.
I told you it was a reasonable concern.
Three. This conversation should end right now, Misaki-chan says, interrupting the fascinating debate that Yumi had started with Joe's fan club. It had taken weeks of planning to be able to start this conversation, and she'd even had to rope Kotori-chan to help with it.
Where's Kotori-chan? She was supposed to keep Misaki-chan busy.
Yumi looks around and finds Kotori-chan giving her an apologetic look.
Stop that. It's not her fault, Misaki-chan says reproachingly. I could sense that you were up to something.
You've been at this too long, Yumi laments.
I'm a pro, yes, Misaki-chan says dryly. Girls, what happened to not being creepy?
She adds, crossing her arms in front of her chest. Yumi grimaces.
Misaki-chan's pissed.
Time for strategy.
Misaki-chan, we were about to bet on this. Actual money, you know.
Yumi says, giving Misaki-chan a meaningful look. Misaki-chan opens her mouth, closes it. She takes off her beret and sort of screeches in frustration into it. Yumi waits.
Fine, she bites out.
Tell me the terms.
Her face is still covered by her beret.
3,000 yen per person. Joe's fan club says he's a dom. We're betting he's a sub.
Misaki-chan winds into her hat. Yumi actually feels bad for her. The fan club does need money, but Misaki-chan has always tried very hard to keep them all from looking deranged and creepy. This bet is ruining all her efforts.
There, there, Fu-chan says, patting Misaki-chan's shoulder.
Okay. Okay, fine, Misaki-chan mutters.
She puts on her beret again and tries to smile. She looks desperate.
Okay. Okay, I'm in.
Are you sure? Miyuki-san asks. You're losing this one. To Yumi's surprise, it's Fu-chan that clicks her tongue and says,
Babe, Joe might be aggressive in his skating, but what he wants is for Cherry-sama to write him and call him a good boy.
All while shaking her head. Misaki-chan snorts and doesn't try to make it pass for a coughing fit. She sounds a bit manic.
To be fair, Yumi starts. Can you blame him for it? It's Cherry-sama.
She looks around herself meaningfully, daring them to deny his hotness.
I'd be the first in line for the same thing if I thought I had a chance.
Misaki-chan starts wheezing. Yumi thinks they've lost her. When they win this, they should spend part of the money in getting her something nice to make it up to her. Maybe some imported snacks?
Joe's fan club looks
very red for a group of girls showing off their legs and tits. Especially when Yumi knows that at least two of them have slept with Joe. They probably asked him to rail them, which... Okay, Yumi gets the appeal, she really does. But she's convinced he's the sort of man that only need to be asked and he'd be happy to get on his knees to eat her out. Kotori-chan looks distinctly uncomfortable. In that way you can only be when you're 15, a virgin, and haven't actually talked about sex outside of the internet. This is why Yumi picked her to keep Misaki-chan distracted. She shouldn't have been exposed to this conversation. And so, the bet is established. Yumi doesn't really expect it to pay off. She won't tell if she gets to prove her theory. That's just ungentlemanly. Almost 2 years pass without any news in regards to the bet. Or, well, news that can be shared. Yumi has already resigned herself to never seeing a single yen. It's a special type of torture, especially now that Misaki-chan wants to help fund Kotori-chan and Utaku-chan's secret project, but won't share what she's getting from her mysterious flower delivery gig. Yumi misses the time when Misaki-chan tried to keep them all together. She particularly hates knowing that it means she hasn't forgiven them for leaving her alone after the full swing kiss. There are still some moments where the old camaraderie returns. Like right now.
That's a chain, Yumi says, looking at Joe.
That's very much a chain, Misaki-chan confirms.
Yeah, I also think that's a chain,
Utaku-chan adds.
Oh no, you don't have to think it. I can confirm it's a chain.
Fu-chan says, possibly in earnest. Kotori-chan is blushing. And yes, there is a chain and Joe is wearing it around his neck like a necklace. Yumi turns to find that Joe's fan club is also staring at the chain. She approaches them casually and says,
"That's an interesting fashion choice, don't you think?"
"It doesn't prove anything," Miyuki-san says. Yumi hums and tilts her head in acknowledgement.
And then Cherry-sama arrives. Yumi doesn't really listen to what they're arguing about because she's more interested in seeing whether or not Cherry-sama makes use of the extremely convenient prop he has right within reach.
There's a point at which Cherry-sama and Joe get close, their faces just a couple of centimeters apart. Joe smirks and goes to straighten himself, but Cherry-sama grabs the chain and yanks him back to eye level. It only lasts a second, but Yumi sees it. Joe's eyes widen, his lips part, and he leans towards Cherry-sama.
"Wow,"
Yumi says. She whirls on Joe's fan club. Judging by their faces, they saw the same thing Yumi saw.
"Pay up,"
Yumi demands. "What are you talking about?" Miyuki-san says, crossing her arms over her chest.
"You saw the same thing I saw. We won the bet,"
Yumi says in a low voice through gritted teeth so as not to draw attention. "We didn't see anything," Miyuki-san says, shaking her head. Behind her, the rest of Joe's fan club is also pretending not to know shit. "Oh, this is war." "That's low, Miyuki," Misaki-chan says casually. Yumi turns around to find her pouting. "You really want to cheat us out of our money?" she tuts.
"Do I have to remind you that your girlfriend is also part of this fan club?"
"Don't drag Fu into this. I'll get her something nice." Misaki-chan shakes her head slowly, mock lamenting,
clicking her tongue.
I recorded the whole thing, she says with a falsely apologetic smile, holding up her phone.
Now please, pay up.
Yumi smiles triumphantly at Miyuki-san and extends her hand towards her, palm up.
You heard the lady, she says. Pay up.
Four. Kotori has a very high opinion of herself. She doesn't see why she shouldn't, considering she's pretty, has good grades, and a friend group at school, and has successfully kept her S-nights a secret from said friends and her parents. She likes to think she has an objective view of the world, that despite being a teenager, she has a clear sense of right and wrong, and of what is and isn't acceptable. Yumi-chan loves to tease her for that, and it's annoying. Misaki-chan tells her to be careful, and Kotori listens because she trusts Misaki-chan's judgment. She's kept the fan club running since she was 16, despite how there's never enough money for their outfits, and how there have been attempts to undermine her authority. She protected Kotori when she was 15 and stumbled upon S while trying to impress a boy she liked, and hasn't let her do anything dumb or too embarrassing since. Misaki-chan flicked Kotori's forehead when Kotori said something insulting about Joe shortly after arriving.
Trash talking is one thing, Misaki-chan said. You're just being rude. He isn't here to defend himself from your insults.
She put her hands on her waist.
The only reason we have to dislike him is that he's Cherisama's rival. Don't do that again.
So Kotori kept to herself her thoughts about Joe being a slut and how she didn't see the appeal in such a mass of muscle. She doesn't understand why Yumi-chan spent so long trying to sleep with him and why he always had someone trying to go home with him.
Then Adam hits Cherisama with a skateboard and Kotori has a hard time. She is horrified and scared and she needs a hug. But also, when she sees Joe pick up Cherisama, something in her mind clicks. But
wrong. She's pretty sure the epiphany she just had is a bit to the left of the one she should have had.
It's just that Kotori still doesn't see the appeal in Joe. At all. But she does see the appeal in Joe touching Cherisama, holding him carefully while looking ready to fight Adam. Cherisama is vulnerable in Joe's arms, and subtly, Joe's bulk isn't so macho crab, but a tool for protection. Cherisama has always looked untouchable to Kotori, but Joe's hands are on him now, and the contrast between their different types of manliness is something. Kotori feels her face growing hot, and she covers it with her hands. She doesn't know what to do when half of her is horrified, and the other half is morbidly interested in seeing Cherisama and Joe together again. Between, you know, the trauma and her school obligations, Kotori manages to bury her newfound interest in the interactions between men deep within her mind. The problem is that it's still there, waiting to crawl out like a zombie.
Which is exactly what it does the following week, when Cherisama shows up in a wheelchair and makes Joe push it around Crazy Rock. It reminds her of that bet Yumi-chan made over a year ago regarding stuff.
Kotori covers her face with her hands, shuts her eyes tight, and wills herself not to think about how obedient Joe might be. This definitely goes against Misaki-chan's don't be creepy rule.
Five. Being heartbroken is probably some rite of passage when you're a teenager. Where would so many musicians be if they hadn't been unconsciously in love at some point between the ages of 13 and 19? Nowhere. A lot of the music industry is built on teenage suffering, And a lot of teenage suffering is romantic. So, yeah. Misaki can cross off getting her heart broken from the list of things that should happen to her while she's still young enough to be dramatic about it. Good for her. Bonus points because it happened while she was 16, so, you know, she's at prime angsting age. Excellent. Yes. So good. She sniffles and comes out of her hiding spot. There aren't many people left at S. She barely leaves before it becomes dangerous to stick around. She checks her phone and sees there's a text from Miyuki telling her she's already home. Misaki tells her she's home too and hopes she doesn't get murdered on the way. That lie will probably hinder the investigation. She presses the heels of her hands to her eyes and forbids herself from crying. Crying isn't allowed. Crying is reserved for things that won't make anybody ask the right questions.
You okay?
A deep voice says, to her right and over her. She looks up to find a man watching her cautiously. She has seen him before. His name was... Joe? She thinks it was Joe. He's always arguing with Cherry-sama, not wearing a shirt, and flirting. She hopes this isn't flirting. Misaki sniffs and shakes her head. Then she nods. Then she covers her face.
I don't have a good answer for that, she says, trying to laugh. The truth is a burden and a lie will be obvious.
See? Teenage angst. When she grows up, she'll have to be dignified about this stuff. Joe whistles.
You're going through something, aren't you?
Misaki looks at him through her fingers. Doesn't matter.
You're crying in public, he says,
not unkindly, just pointing out the fact that reveals Misaki's lie. I'm not crying, Misaki corrects, annoyed by the concern.
I'm about to cry, but it won't happen.
No.
It's so obvious he doesn't believe her.
No,
Misaki says, lowering her hands and standing straight. She feels tiny next to Joe, and it's freaking her out. He seems to notice because he takes a step back.
You should go home now, he says. It's late.
Yeah, I know. Misaki laughs humorlessly. That's the only reason I came out of the bushes.
Joe looks behind her and raises his eyebrows.
You were hiding in the bushes?
Misaki shrugs. I panicked, she admits. Joe laughs. It's a nice sound, relaxed and easy. Like he really thinks what she said was funny instead of pathetic. Misaki appreciates it.
Crazy Rock is a bad place to panic at, he says, mirthing his tone.
I didn't have time to go somewhere better, Misaki says, trying to sound like she doesn't care.
She runs her hand through her hair and finds a twig. She starts brushing her hair with her fingers and finds a couple of leaves that she tries to throw away in anger. Unfortunately, leaves are too tight for the right effect. They simply drift to the ground.
Do you want to tell me what happened? Joe says.
Misaki crushes the last leaf in her fist. I don't know you.
Exactly. I won't judge.
Misaki twists her mouth. She bites the inside of her cheek and then remembers she has mints in her pocket. Joe refuses the mint she offers and waits patiently while she puts one in her mouth and toys with the tin before putting it away. My best friend confessed to me a couple years ago, Misaki blurts out. Nothing changed between us, but literally this week I realized I loved her back. She takes in a deep breath. She doesn't love me anymore, and she says she's glad she got over me because we'd never have been good together. Joe's eyebrows go up as he hears Misaki's words.
So, I'm a little bit heartbroken.
She laughs nervously and lowers her face.
Did you get to tell her how you felt?
Joe says in an odd tone. It makes Misaki raise her head and try to understand. Joe's face is closed off, but his eyes are sad.
No. She was talking about somebody else she likes, so I brought up how she used to like me. She said that...
Her voice breaks a bit at the end. She pretends to cough, hoping to hide it. Joe isn't nice enough to let her get away with it.
Are you sure you don't want to cry?
I definitely want to cry, but... not here, and not now.
She rubs her eyes.
I'll buy myself some fancy cake tomorrow and cry over that.
You're going to cry over cake?
Joe asks, frowning.
Or maybe ice cream?
Misaki shrugs.
I always cry over good food. That way people don't ask about it. They think I'm just a big fan of food.
Or weird. She pauses.
Which I am, so...
Joe scratches the back of his neck, probably thinking her odd and regretting having talked to her.
Your situation is... bad. Are you sure you don't have a chance?
Misaki shakes her head. She's over me. I missed my opportunity.
Yeah, I know how that feels,
he says quietly.
And... I hope you get over it soon.
Misaki laughs once, somewhat desperate.
I'll try.
She closes her eyes and takes a deep breath.
Thank you for the good wishes. And for listening. I didn't actually have anyone to talk to about this.
I wanted to help,
Joe says, waving a hand dismissively.
He looked heartbroken.
Misaki grimaces.
Was it that obvious?
I know what it looks like.
Misaki blinks and studies Joe's face.
I wish you all the best, too,
she says sincerely. He closes off.
What do you mean?
Misaki gives him a sympathetic look. It's okay. You don't have to tell me. She lets the conversation die. Joe finds a group of girls and asks them to keep Misaki company until they reach the bus stop. Misaki watches Joe as he walks away and thinks about how kind he just was. Considering how big he is and how he skates, she'd never have expected it of him. She wants to give back some kindness, too. For Valentine's, she goes to a flower shop and buys a bouquet.
Are those for cherry blossom?
Miyuki asks her when she sees Misaki with it at Crazy Rock.
Nope,
Misaki says, looking around for Joe. She finds him surrounded by people. They're all laughing, a couple girls are hanging off his arms, and his smile, while warm, isn't the same he gave Misaki. Miyuki gapes when Misaki starts heading in Joe's direction, and then she rushes after Misaki, asking her what she's doing. Joe and the women with him stare at Misaki when she reaches them, but Misaki has no shame. Besides, Joe seems to recognize her, judging by the slight widening of his eyes. She offers him the bouquet.
Happy Valentine's, she says. I wanted to thank you.
For what?
Miyuki says, clearly as confused as almost everybody else. Joe gives her a soft smile and nods. Since her message has been understood, Misaki feels free to lie. She grins, turns towards Miyuki, and says,
He's the only one that's a real opponent to Cherry somehow here. He deserves some recognition for that.
Joe laughs at that and holds the bouquet closer to his chest. The flowers don't seem to belong to him.
They're delicate and pink, and they contrast with his tan skin and absurd muscle mass. He looks like the sort of person that nobody gives flowers to.
Thank you,
he tells her, looking genuinely happy with the gift. Misaki smiles at him and vows to herself to buy him flowers every year. The end. Thanks for listening.